guitars and harps and all of that yet. But I'll put up this morning singing with the best of them. Truly, truly blesses our heart. We're continuing this morning in the story, in the life, of a moment in the life of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, this portion in John chapter 3, these 10 verses, most of us have learned from an early age in our Sunday school classes. And sometimes, though, the theology that's brought out within our Sunday school stories are missed. As here we have presented the plan of salvation to Nicodemus. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 10 this morning. We looked at verses 1 through 3 last week, so we'll continue with 4 through 10, but starting with verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Some translations say the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God was with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said this to you. You must be born again. And the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" Let's pray. Father, enlighten us this morning with the truths of your word. Father, may we understand them as they're presented and not with baggage that I might bring along. Father, might your Spirit speak to us today in such a way that we give you honor and glory in all things. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we talked last week as Nicodemus comes to Christ and, you know, pretty much in a flattering manner. You know, he says, "Jesus, you know, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God. You're a teacher." You know, kind of like the way we do things, I want something from Jerry. So I might start the conversation of, "You know, Jerry, out of all the mailmen in the world, I don't think there's any better than you." Or Tom. "Tom, out of all the construction people I know, there ain't nobody who lays a window panel better than you." You know, and they kind of... "Can you do something for me?" We've all been there, either on the receiving end or on the giving end. This is kind of how I think Nicodemus is coming. He's buttering Jesus up for something. You know, and I think you know. And this question that he's asking is kind of hidden here, but he says, you know, for no one can do the signs you do unless God is with him. So how do you do these things, Jesus? I think that's kind of one of the questions that would have been next had Jesus not gone to the heart of the issue. For verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What was Nicodemus' true question? What did he come that night to find out? How can I be part of the kingdom of God? Jesus knew the question before Nicodemus even answered it. And Jesus cut to the trace. Did I still say it wrong? No. You got what you get, or you get what you got. Verse 4, then Nicodemus responds to this. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Did Nicodemus miss the point? Did he not know where Jesus was going? I don't think so. And I don't think he was trying to mock Jesus either. I mean, Nicodemus is probably older. I don't know how old people got back then. He's not 900 years old like Methuselah, but old enough to be wise enough to lead the people in Israel. Jesus says you must be born again. Well, how can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb, can he? And Jesus going with a spiritual problem, Nicodemus is trying to turn it into a physical issue. So Nicodemus is basically saying, Lord, can you clarify what you mean? Jesus then takes him basically to the Old Testament. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And we read out of Ezekiel this morning. And that's where Jesus is taking him as the ruler of the Jews, as the teacher of the Jews. Jesus is almost chastising him. Because Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. He knew the Scriptures. He had most of it probably committed to memory. And when Jesus said, "You must be born again," even in an Old Testament sense, Nicodemus should have got that. But we were discussing yesterday at men's study. If you guys don't come to men's study, you miss quite a bit. We have a great time. Get to talk about things we don't normally talk about. But we were talking about the rise of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious structure of Jesus' day. How all of that kind of formulated itself in those 400 silent years that we call them. Between the last verse of the Old Testament and then when John the Baptist comes on the scene in the New. God had no prophets. He had no judges. The people during these 400 years were floundering for God. I know sometimes we today, I know I do, say, God, why aren't you working today? Seems like he's absent in our world sometimes. Although all we got to do is open our eyes and see him. But the people of Israel who were used to God manifesting himself through men, prophets, judges, God was silent. So then we have the abuse of the law that takes place. We have the Pharisees trying to live by the letter of the law to please God. And that's where we find Nicodemus. Nicodemus, in his eyes, and probably the eyes of most people around him, was one of the most righteous men in Israel. He did everything right. Yet he had no clue where he was going to spend his eternity. So Jesus says, you must be born again. Jesus takes them then to, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Do you know what that means, Nicodemus? Do you know what I'm talking about, Nicodemus? Let's look one more time at Ezekiel 36. Verses 22 through 28. I'll read it one more time. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. Why is God going to do this? For Israel? For himself. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Because of the way you have been living, Israel, I need to fix things. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in your sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Are they going to walk into their own land? God will bring them. 25. Then I will sprinkle. Now go back. Remember what we've read in John chapter 3. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land which I give to your forefathers, which I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. Who is the agent of action back in Ezekiel? It's God. And Jesus comes to answer Nicodemus' question, how can I be saved? How can I get to heaven? You must be born again. Well, how's that possible? I can't do that. Jesus answered, Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Ezekiel. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, would this not have been a perfect chance for Jesus, for God, to look at Nicodemus and says, "You want to get to heaven? All you've got to do is say this prayer." All you've got to do is this. All you have to do. But Jesus said, no, that's not what Christ said. He said, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Things you don't possess, but God does. Do not be amazed that I said to you that you must be born again. Nicodemus did everything he could in his power to know God. He spent his life chasing after all the things of the law to make them right. I mean, Nicodemus probably should have come to Jesus that night saying, "Jesus, do you want to know how to get to heaven? I'll tell you." But no. For in his heart, Nicodemus knew that all of his righteousness were his filthy rags. Verse 8. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. You do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Has anyone in this room, is anybody watching from wherever you're watching from today or listening from wherever you're listening from, found a way to harness the wind? I mean, sure. I can make wind. But once it leaves my papers, do I have any control? I mean, we can walk outside the front door, and most likely we'll feel a pleasant breeze on our cheeks. And we'll say, "Oh, what a fantastic day." Where's it come from? Where does it go? That's how the Spirit of God works. We don't decide what He does. He does. And Nicodemus is still perplexed. He's still questioning. And he says, "Lord, how can these things be?" Now, there are many different types of conversion experiences. God works differently in many of us. Some of us will have Nicodemus-type conversion experiences. And I'll kind of explain that in a little bit. Others of us will have Apostle Paul type conversion experiences. Okay, road to Damascus experiences. Power of God coming upon you like that. Nicodemus wasn't quite so spectacular. As it took a year or two, for the seed that was planted this day to take root and grow. And then some of us will have experiences somewhere in between. Paul was a murderer of Christians. In his works religion, he was a nasty individual. He would kill women and children and fathers. Because it didn't fit what the law had become. So Paul's experience, his conversion was extreme and powerful. Nicodemus's was a little more slow and steady. And Jesus, answering Nicodemus's perplexed question, "How can these things be?" Jesus answers him and says, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" Nicodemus disappears at this point. I mean, Jesus will go on to elaborate on his teaching. And I don't know if at this point Nicodemus is still present or if Jesus turns his ideas to the disciples that he has at the time. But again, Jesus does not call for an altar call. He does not call him forward to accept him. So what happens to him? John chapter 7. Jesus is back in Galilee. And all the Jews want to kill him. Always amazes me. They're there to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And they're confronted by the Sanhedrin. They want him dead. But they can't because the people are listening. And they don't want to make a scene. And some of the people are believing. So they send soldiers to seize him and to arrest him. But when they get there, they couldn't. They couldn't grab him. So these soldiers come back to the Sanhedrin and to the chief priests. And they ask him, "Why didn't you bring him back here? We sent you to arrest him." They looked at them and they said, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." They couldn't get past what Christ was saying, what he was teaching, the authority that he had, the knowledge of Scripture. Why? Because he was Scripture. The Pharisees look at them and they said, "What, have you guys been led astray as well?" And this is where we kind of get a peek into Nicodemus. This is about a year later. In verse 50 of chapter 7. They want to arrest him. They basically want to lynch him, if you want to use that term. No legal precedent about it. And Nicodemus speaks forth and says, "Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?" I mean, the Sanhedrin's all up in arms. "We need to do this. We need to do this." You know, they're all crying out. And Nicodemus raises his hand. "Point of order, gentlemen. Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing." This is a bold step for Nicodemus. He's going against the whole rest of the Sanhedrin. I mean, when everybody else wants him dead and you stand forth and say, "Let's take a step back here and let's weigh the evidence." Maybe somewhere along the line, that seed that was planted on that early night back in chapter 3 has been watered. I mean, the Sanhedrin, the rest of them, they look at Nicodemus and they said, "You're not also from Galilee, are you?" I mean, that was sarcasm. That was mockery. Later we'll see in Scripture that Nicodemus is with Joseph of Arimathea at his burial. Now, Nicodemus was not only the teacher of the Jews. He was also one of the richest men in Jerusalem at this time. He had much wealth. After Christ's resurrection, Nicodemus began to follow Christ. Church tradition tells us that he lost everything he had, all of his wealth, all of his friends, probably most of his family. Goes as far as there's even a story told that Nicodemus's daughter was out along the roadways. Going through whatever she could. Even up to like piles of dung. Looking for grains of rice to be able to eat. A member of the Sanhedrin passed by. Even had some compassion on her. "Who are you, honey?" "I'm the daughter of Nicodemus." "Whatever happened to Nicodemus?" "Well, he followed Jesus." And tradition tells us that rabbi, that member of the Sanhedrin, left her with no help. Nicodemus is also said by tradition to have died a martyr for Christ. The same man Jesus met in John chapter 3 was not the same man that lived his whole life out. There was a change. He went from an old life and was reborn to a new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Nicodemus could have left that day much like the rich young ruler after he met Jesus. He could have, oh, those were nice words. Not much for me to change. I do everything good myself. But a change was made that day. His heart began to melt. His heart of stone began to be replaced with a heart of flesh. And Nicodemus would become a follower of Jesus. What about us? Those watching? Those listening on the internet? Where are we? Are we trying to gain eternal life through our actions? Through our power, through our righteousness? Or has the Spirit of God entered within us to change our hearts? To bring us to spiritual life? If I had to say what my conversion experience was like, it was nowhere like a Damascus Road experience. I grew up in a Christian home. Well, my mom was a believer. She had me in church every time the door was open. She tried to have me taught the ways of God. I grew up pretty righteous. And I probably could have lived my entire life that way. I could probably be standing up here today doing what I do under the auspices of who I was. But somewhere, somehow, I was reborn. Might have taken a while. Seeds being planted as a youth. Circumstances that God put me in. Christian high school. The churches that He had me go to after I was married. But in some point in time, I remember almost like a light going on. And it's not me, but it's Him. Well, how you're talking then. What if God never touches me in that way? God never calls me to salvation. What then, smarty pants? Responsibility is still ours. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Is the kingdom of God the most important aspect of your life? It was to Nicodemus. That was the hidden question that Jesus brought out. Do you long for eternal life? Father, you have provided something that we cannot earn. You have given it to us through the power of your holy word that we can read, that we can communicate, and that we can commit to our hearts. Father, I must admit, even through all of this, I don't know quite how salvation actually works because I have nothing to do with it. I just know I can trust you to do what is right at all times. Lord, use this church to bring people into your fold. Use this church to communicate the truths of the gospel. Father, may we talk more about you than we talk about sports. May we talk more about you than we talk about politics. May we talk more about you than we talk about our jobs. Because truly, you should be over all of that. And Father, do the same thing in my heart and in my life. May you, as Paul said in Colossians, may you be preeminent in all things. Continue to grow us as a church. Continue to grow us as your people. For we love you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.